Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hello and welcome to a New Year's edition of the James Bond A to Z podcast. My name is Tom Butler and joining me for Hogmanay is Mr. Tom Wheatley.
You haven't had a lot of time to think up that one, have you? I'm glad that it's not a time to think, yeah. Think one up. He feels a bit silly now. Well, it's good to be back this wonderful time of year.
2025. Can't believe there's jetpacks now. Brilliant.
I know.
And welcome, Mr. Brendan Duffy.
Thank you. I don't even get anything. I don't get anything. Just welcome.
He's exhausted everything. Hogmanay, that's all he's got.
What else is...
Hootenanny.
Hootenanny, yeah. Old Lang Syne.
Yeah.
All of those things.
New just year. Coming up with words now.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
But yeah, welcome to our Christmas... festive... New Year's. I'll get there eventually. I've had a few beers now. New Year's edition of the James Bond A to Z podcast. So welcome back, guys. Can you believe we're doing our first ever New Year's special?
I know.
No,
this podcast is like buses, isn't it?
Well, can't keep us away. So ahead in this episode, we're going to do... Brendan's got a little quiz for us, which hopefully you'll all enjoy.
Which I'll get completely destroyed at again. What was it, like 15-1 or something last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have any movies you're looking forward to this year? Do you know any movies that are coming out this year?
There's a new Marvel film, isn't there, for you, Brendan?
Thunderbolts. New Captain America.
I normally, by this point of the year, I know... I've moved house, so when I was in Brighton, I knew all of the big films coming up because they're quite far in advance, and we're getting towards the Oscar stuff now. So.
Yeah.
But because I've moved house, they don't show any of the Oscar films now. They basically just show Paddington at the moment seven times a day. So I don't really know anything that's coming up next year that I'm that excited about.
This year.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to hear some movies that are coming out next year?
No. This year.
Hey! Take a beer off him.
Bridget Jones 4.
Oh, yes.
Move on.
Captain America Brave New World.
Hold on, what? Bridget Jones 4?
Bridget Jones 4, yeah.
Oh, my word. That's really set off the year well. What? Okay, what's the this one?
Captain America Brave New World with...
No interest.
Red Hulk.
No interest. I'm off Marvel now, I'm done with them.
Right. Oh, wow. Really?
I haven't watched a Marvel film in a year and a half.
Well, I'll tell you what. I watched Deadpool and Wolverine. We didn't talk about it in our Christmas
episode. That's a lie, I've watched that.
Right. And?
It's fine.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was okay. Yeah.
It's a fun film. It's a film designed to be fun and have some alright jokes in it.
I think it's exactly where Marvel should be. They should be delivering. They should be making that.
Yeah. And maybe make two a year.
Yeah.
Out
of push.
I mean, it was very self-aware, and that's Deadpool, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
What I did like about it was the X-Men stuff.
Yeah.
I just forgot how much I loved the X-Men. But we will be talking about James Bond shortly. So ahead in this episode, we've got a quiz, and we're going to do a bit of a Bond best of. So we're going to be talking a bit about that. So don't worry about that.
But arguing a bit about that.
Yeah. Other stuff to look forward to in 2025. Minecraft movie. Who's looking forward to that one?
I'm annoyed you've mentioned it.
There's a new Bong Joon-ho movie. His first movie since Parasite. It's called Mickey 17. Have you heard of this?
Nope.
Robert Pattinson in space. It sounds a little bit like Moon.
I mean, they should have called it that.
Robert Pattinson in space. Do you remember Moon?
Yeah.
Sam Rockwell, on the moon, and every time he died, a new one came along. Well, this is like a bit like this. That's Robert Pattinson in space, and there's going to be multiple ones of him. Thunderbolts, the new Marvel movie. Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning.
I watched the... What was the last Reckoning? Something Reckoning.
The Dead Reckoning.
Dead Reckoning.
Part one.
Come on, guys.
No, I'm all for that, to be honest.
I saw that and I was like, yeah, it's fine. It's on its last leg, so I'm glad that it's finished. I don't think it will ever finish.
This is its last leg.
It won't be. They'll have another one, which is post-Reckoning.
It'll be... what's his name? Glenn Powell as...
Because he does everything.
It's event cinema.
But I'm not excited about it in the slightest.
Lilo and Stitch live action.
Of all the Disney films that you can make a live action of, don't make one of Lilo and Stitch.
As someone who is a parent of young children, Stitch is massive.
Right. Okay.
They've marketed Stitch like crazy.
I love Lilo and Stitch. I think it's a great film. I just think it's a very weird one to make live action, because the whole thing is
they have laid the groundwork for live action Lilo and Stitch heavily over the last 5 years, and kids are going to go crazy for it. I'm telling you now, it's going to be one of the biggest films of the
Moana year. Moana 2.
Well, that's, we've already had that.
Oh, we've already seen that. I saw the first showing of that.
There's a new Karate Kid film
with Ralph Macchio
and Jackie Chan, who was Mr. Miyagi.
Thank you. Move on. I'm not going to watch that.
Ballerina, which has Bond alumni Ana de Armas as a deadly assassin.
No, it's meant to be like John Wick, isn't it?
It is from the world of John Wick. Yeah,
I don't think it'll work. That's actually quite a pertinent example of like the Bond thing, where you create a whole series around one character, and then you try and create something else off of the same concept. It won't work because people love John Wick. That's the only reason. Because if you took John Wick out of the John Wick films, it's just an action film, isn't it? It doesn't matter who's in it. So I think that's going to bomb, and everyone's going to moan about.
I don't think it will. I think you would underestimate the power of John Wick. If you're listening to this in 2030 as well, like, how are the cockroaches, etc. But yeah, I mean, it might have been a massive hit, and you might sound quite foolish, but
we'll put better on at the end of this podcast.
How to Train Your Dragon live action.
I only realised this was happening this morning.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not going to watch it.
You mean in December, a few weeks
ago? Well, no, this morning is this morning. I actively chose this morning because it's a relative time.
28 years later.
You mean this morning last year? Yeah, because I always say that.
28 years later.
Yeah, the Danny Boyle film.
It's been a long time since anyone's known about those films.
Yeah, I watched the first one last year again, and it wasn't as good as I remembered it.
Yeah. It's been a long distance between that, and the people that know about that film and the people that don't know about that film, there's a big difference between that gap now. Yeah. So you're going to have to really market that to make a lot of money out of it.
But it's got Jodie Comer, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Ralph Fiennes, a very big Bond contingent in that.
Mm. The concept's nice because it's interesting to see what's happened to the world since then, but I can't remember what's happened.
It's interesting that they're making another big, seems like a big budget, big fanfare zombie movie. I remember the last time we had a big sort of zombie movie like that. Mm.
Yeah.
World War Z movie. F1.
The reason I'll be glad this gets released is so Brad Pitt can stop appearing at every single race weekend. It's infuriating.
So it's from the director of Top Gun Maverick, and it's F1, so it's going to be sort of in the cockpit.
Days of Thunder.
But they're also talking about making a Days of Thunder 2 as well.
Nobody liked Days of Thunder. I like Days of Thunder. Nobody else liked it.
It was not very good, wasn't it?
The problem is with that as well, Brad Pitt's obviously going to win the world championship, right? It's not realistic for a man that old.
Because it's about a rookie coming through, and then the retired racing driver comes through, and yeah. Jurassic World Rebirth.
Jesus. What are they doing now?
This is set after Jurassic World Dominion.
They need to stop making... Nobody cares about dinosaurs anymore.
Gareth Edwards is director.
Right.
David Coep, who wrote the original Jurassic Park, has written it. So it's kind of an interesting pedigree.
I think there's still legs in Jurassic Park, but I think they need to just give it a rest for like at least 10 years, because it's the last one was only 2 years ago, which was a wreck.
It was dreadful.
Was it Dominion,
Yeah.
Which was just awful. And it's too soon afterwards because people have still got that taste in their mouths. They're like, oh, I'm not going to bother with that. I saw the last two of those and they were... But I think it went streaming. I think I rented it. No, I bought it for $1.99 very quickly after it came on streaming.
I mean, you know, like, you know me well. Jurassic Park is my favourite movie of all time.
Mm.
Well, this and is I the thing. Cannot stand these movies.
Yes.
I didn't mind the first one. I thought the first one was like, oh, it's interesting, taking a different angle.
Jurassic World.
Jurassic World. Yeah. It's like, okay.
It's like nod to the past.
Nod to the past.
It came at the perfect time because everyone was in the right frame of mind for it. Like, people my age, you saw it when they were kids, were adults.
Yeah.
They took their kids to see it and they loved it.
Well, they're stuck in this thing now where in the original series, the three-part series, in fact, there's only really 1.5 good films in out of all of those three original trilogy. They didn't have any mutated DNA, like modified dinosaurs. So it was just new dinosaurs every time. Now they can't do that anymore because they've had every single dinosaur that they can use. And didn't they, in the Jurassic World, they genetically created a dinosaur that was like a super dinosaur.
Indominus Rex.
And then the second one, they then used the DNA from that one to create another one. But he was still blind or something like that. So they like created all this stuff that he could do, like trick people into opening doors by like scratching them and making them think that he's gone, and then leave it 10 years.
Here's another one that might infuriate you. There's a new Superman movie coming next year from James Gunn.
Oh, I know all about this.
How do you feel about this?
My issue with Superman is it's a boring character. I don't find it interesting.
Right, so
here we go. I teed him up.
Superman
on.
Is a boring character. In the bit of history behind this, when Superman came out in like the 30s or 40s or something, people got really bored of him because he was essentially like, could do anything. You couldn't kill him. You couldn't fight him. It's not like Spider-Man. You can get punched in the face and, you know, there's a struggle there. There's like a story behind it. Where Superman is just like,
put him under a glass cup and he's
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas Superman was basically, you know, you couldn't beat him. And that was the same problem they had with the movies, because in the movies, the first one, he's not fighting anyone. He's just, the only problem he's got is kryptonite, which is boring. In fact, they introduced kryptonite in the 50s to make him a little bit weaker.
Is that right?
Okay. So they saw like massive dip, I seem to remember this. They saw a dip in like people's interest in it because he was just boring. He was like, you could just go out and just, people could shoot him and like he wouldn't die. So they introduced kryptonite to give him a weakness so that he had some sort of story evolution and people could beat him. But the same thing happened with the films because he was immortal in the films. Like most of the things he had was Lex Luthor using Lois Lane to say, I'm going to kill her unless you do this. So there was no like jeopardy apart from the sort of hostage situation. But now I think what he's going to do is introduce loads of characters that can kill him.
Yeah.
So he's actually less powerful, which is what they've done in the comics. So if you've seen in the TV series as well, Justice League, he's not actually the most powerful character.
I mean, the problem for me is I don't think James Gunn. I think Guardians of the Galaxy 1 was okay, but I don't really like his shtick. I don't like. I don't feel like it's a good match. Superman.
Yeah.
Was fine in Superman versus Lois, where it was quite light-hearted, but
I think with the James Gunn stuff that there's obviously been a lot of news stories about it, a lot of promotion around all this, like this brand new thing coming out. I think it's too late. Like Marvel's done their thing. Even if DC come in with something that's as good as Marvel, it's too late because everyone's going to be like, we've sort of seen this anyway. We're less interested in this. And the expectation for what James Gunn is going to deliver is really high now. Like DC and Warner Brothers are saying, you know, this is going to be our big win for the next few years.
And launch a whole new universe. Right?
Launch a whole new universe. James Gunn could have released, you know, Peacemaker, which is this series he did. Really good. Low key, lesser known characters, great series, really fun to do. They should have created a universe around that and made it like a TV thing and really build that universe out of series that aren't that expensive to make and are really good characters. I think it's going to bomb. I think it's going to not be as good as it won. And what will happen is maybe Superman will do okay because it's new and people sort of like James Gunn and there's not been a, you know, DC film for a while. They'll release Green Lanterns and all these sorts of things and they'll be like, oh, actually. Yeah, some of them are going to bomb. It's like what happened to JLA type stuff, isn't it? With the Aquaman and stuff. It was like some of it did all right.
All right, let's move on and let's skip through these next ones. Fantastic Four, has a new Fantastic Four movie come in?
There's a chance that this could be good, but I think Marvel are going to be at a point where they have a good film occasionally, but they're not going to be consistent.
Yeah. No, okay. There is also a new Naked Gun movie.
Who's
Liam Neeson.
With Liam Neeson.
Which is interesting. Liam Neeson, people are saying he's an action star, isn't he? He's not a comedy star. But Leslie Nielsen was an action star before he did.
Yeah.
So
it's a similar route.
Yeah, but also I don't think that comedy works anymore. It's too obvious.
Yeah.
There's a new Tron movie coming.
No, thanks.
With Joachim Ronning, who made a bunch of things. I think did he make the last Tomb Raider movie? Anyway, there's that, which has Jared Leto in it. A new Predator movie called Badlands, which sounds quite interesting. And Running Man, directed by Edgar Wright and starring Glenn Powell.
Yeah, that is interesting.
That is interesting. And then obviously we've got a new Avatar movie at Christmas as well.
No, thanks. Move on.
They don't need to waste billions of pounds making these.
People were still paying for them. They got 1.7 billion or something in the cinemas.
I don't mind Avatar movies. I mean, I thought the last one was so boring, and then it made so much money.
Mm.
It was unbelievable how much interest
I couldn't understand it. I could understand the first one because it came at the age of the 3D filming and everything, and it was like a whole spectacle, and everyone was like, I'm going to go to IMAX to see and stuff.
Yeah.
Second one, it was just like, oh, it's just the same film, same sort of film.
I think where you sort of forget is it has a global appeal.
Of course, it's in China, isn't it?
China is big, and Asia, where these things are, because it's so sort of agnostic in terms of what stands for. It's not where the first movie was very imperialist sort of movie. This is now in a world where anything is possible.
Yeah.
The people look like blue creatures, like they can do what they want, and anyone around the world can sort of identify.
So what you're saying is it's not particularly a good film, but everyone can watch it.
Yeah. Cool, so before we move on to our quiz for our New Year's special, we are going to rip off someone else's idea, which if you're on Reddit, which I am, I don't know if you guys are, but on the James Bond subreddit, a guy called The Bond Fan, he shared this grid on there where you sort of, every day, he sort of shares a new sort of category, and people on Reddit get to vote on what they think is various parts of best parts of the universe. So I thought we'd run through this and see what the James Bond A to Z definitive sort of best and worst parts of the James Bond universe is. Does that sort of make sense?
Yeah. But I think some of these are going to be pretty quick fire, and some of them are going to be a little bit debatable.
Yeah, okay. We're going to be fighting or just agreeing.
Some of them are so obvious, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But if you want to find this on Reddit, it's The Bond Fan, and his username is jazzlike/ad7654. So well done for putting this together. But we're going to dive in with our own version of this and start bottom right with best cast. What do you think is the... What would you consider to be the best cast?
BJ, do you want to give the correct answer?
But of the Bond universe.
The correct answer is between two, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, I've only got one.
Ah. The BMW from...
And the Jaguar
from and the Ford from
that's it. Yeah.
Aston Martin DB5.
That's the only answer. The Lotus.
The one honourable mention. The only other would be the Lotus.
But if you were to be given one, you'd take the.
So the Aston Martin DB5. What makes it the best Bond car of all?
The gadgets for a start. It helps that it's in the best Bond film. That's its first introduction.
It's just synonymous with Bond. It's the Bond car. Like the Lotus, most people, we know it. Not everyone will know it.
Yeah.
Even people who have only ever watched a Craig film know that it's synonymous with Bond. It's the Bond car.
Yeah.
I think the one word there is the first. It's the first of the Bond cars that really set the template for it. I mean, I know there was cars in Dr. No and From Russia With Love, but this is the one that really... What makes Bond Bond is Goldfinger and the Aston Martin DB5 with all its gadgets. But for me, the Lotus is the only other one
that would even be worth.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that's a slightly more niche one, isn't it? It's like for the connoisseur, the older.
And if I had to put another one in, which I'm going to, the Aston Martin from The Living Daylights.
Yeah,
because
that's. Like,
and that's
the connoisseur.
The connoisseur.
The skis and all.
Yeah, if somebody's coming to you and going, I'm going to buy you this car, which one are you going to get? The Aston Martin from Living Daylights. I don't think you're going to go for that.
Okay. Well, that's it then. Locked in. DB5. Obvious.
Yeah.
Best poster. Best James Bond poster. Who's going first?
What's jumping out for you, really?
There's two. I've got two options.
Go on.
Goldfinger, simplicity, memorable. People know that poster in their heads.
Robert Brown, John, the projections on the body. That's the one you're
simple, effective, perfect for the time. if you, somebody says to you, who, you know, knows Bond a bit, you go, remember the Goldfinger poster? They probably go, oh yeah, I think I remember it. For me, I really like the collage style of the Roger Moore years, so I'm going for the Man with Golden... No, yeah, Man with Golden Gun I'm going for, Live and Let Die.
The hand-drawn...
Yeah, well, you've got lots of like the cards and the him at the top, and then the characters coming down.
Because I think that's like Live and Let Die with the cards.
The cards, yeah. And Man with Golden Gun was a similar thing, but you had like people with guns at the bottom. Okay. But I like those because I think that was one of the first series to do that sort of thing. Maybe in like Flint and stuff like that. But for me, if I had one on my bedroom wall, it would be one of those as opposed to the Goldfinger one.
Right, okay.
But I do think Goldfinger is technically the best.
Yeah.
And actually, it's a bit of an outlier, I would say, because the Goldfinger one, in a way, is unlike any other Bond poster. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's a great choice.
What's the one that where it's legs? In between legs?
The Furioi.
What's the one? I've seen your house.
Yeah, that's wallpaper.
That's your front door. And it's got your giant legs.
And it's your legs.
Because that's the one that jumps out to me.
And there's been eight and homage, yeah. The one for me, I would say, is the Living Daylights one, which is brings together the style of the Roger Moore, the hand-drawn one, but it's in the gun barrel, and it's red, and it's beautiful. For me, the Living Daylights.
You're not having Die Another Day with ice written...
I do like the ice
gun,
block.
The gun in the ice block. Yeah,
it's crap, though. Like, anybody could do that design.
The problem with the modern ones is that they feel modern. They're not timeless.
No.
Even if it's 2002, but it still feels like it's created in a different way to the previous.
So we don't have a consensus. I would say the era of the hand-drawn ones where it's from You Only Live Twice, Her Majesty's Secret Service... Diamonds Are Forever, that sort of hand-drawn era, I think, is the one. But I think if I had to pick between the two of you, I think For Your Eyes Only is the one that really stands out. Okay.
Nobody's going for the Craig era ones.
No, they're all I can't distinguish them, to be honest.
I can't.
I like...
Casino Royale was the only one.
What was that rubbish one where they just put people leaning against a blue wall?
No Time to Die.
No Time to Die, yeah, that was lazy, wasn't it?
Yeah,
they were bad. Best cinematography.
Okay, so I've got a bit of a tricky with this because I think cinematography, it's quite difficult to compare something like Dr. No with No Time to Die because the cinematography in No Time to Die is obviously going to be way better. You've got way more technology and stuff to do it.
Yeah.
Any of the Craig ones, I think I'd probably say Casino Royale modern-wise is probably the best cinematography. It's very beautifully done, very clear, very simple, tells a story well. If you go back to the old days, probably going to go for... tonight Goldfinger or From Russia with Love, but I don't think it's fair to compare those with the modern day ones because they're always going to look better.
What have you got, Brendan?
Casino Royale definitely from the modern era, but I do think you have to look at them from two separate. From Russia with Love feels and looks every bit an espionage.
When you think about cinematography, how would you describe it to a non-film fan? What is it that defines the cinematography of a movie?
The lighting, the look of the film.
Mm.
I mean, it's all incorporated as well with the stunning work they do with creating the sets as well. So that's very much
the two go together.
I think it's a very visual thing where you look at the beauty of the shot and how well it's framed and everything like that. But I think when you look at the old days, it was so hard to get a good shot because you didn't have the luxury of digital film where you could actually film 360 or something and go zoom in there, take that, make the set wider. So I think when you look at some of the in the earlier days, definitely it was more involved with the set designers, the cameraman, everything. It was all involved, whereas now it's more like it's a lot of editing and post-production for cinematography.
For me, the ones that stand out are From Russia with Love, and I'm thinking specifically about in the cathedral in Istanbul and how that's set up. And so it's about the camera, it's about the lighting, it's about how it's framed.
Yeah.
But the other one that really stands out for me is on Her Majesty's Secret Service, which when you think about that helicopter scene where they're flying in, I've never seen anything that looks as beautiful in a James Bond film. But I will say that No Time to Die at the time, I think, stands out as a very distinctive looking Bond film.
No, I think, I mean, most of the ones, I mean, even Quantum, like the cinematography, you could look at a scene and go, that's really well made, that looks really nice. But if you look at the older ones, you've got it's almost like interest in you know, if you compare an old film with a new film, what's that sort of cinematography interest that you gain over time and how can you level it out? Whereas you look at something like, I mean, even Dr. No, low budget, some of the cinematography in that is phenomenal. The way that they actually used the low budget and cleverly filmed things, and they wouldn't have had the luxury of putting lens flare and stuff on to make it look beautiful. Yeah, like you look at some of the shots in No Time to Die in the forests, the amount of post-production must have gone to those forest shots would have been ridiculous.
Yeah. So we're going to say From Russia With Love?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best theme song. Now, this is a good one because we talked about theme in every single one of our episodes. For me, there's only one to choose from, and that is
Madonna. Yeah. Oh my god, this is going to crop up a lot, isn't it?
It's Nobody He Does It Better, and from The Spy Who Loved Me. That for me is the ultimate James Bond theme song. I don't know what you guys think. It says everything you need to know about Bond in one song.
Mm-hmm.
You take it out of Bond, and it's a great song, but it also says everything you need to know about James Bond. So what would you go with?
Mine's Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
Yeah, instantly. As soon as it starts,
that is the framework they used for Nobody Does It Better. Essentially, that sort of same style. The thing with Goldfinger and some of the other ones is that it's not about Bond. It's about the villain, the other characters, and Bond's brought into it through that thing. But I think it's more. I think it's just. The sound. That's the sound. Sounds, the that's archetypal the sound that they used to create many of the other ones. Even like Madonna's one, they sort of probably copied it a bit. Not very well, but the idea behind it is...
John Barry, then, is, I guess, the key, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. The sound of Bond.
Yeah.
John Barry.
Mm. Yeah. You don't get any of the other sound of Bond without that theme song, without John Barry, which is our next
section. Yeah, we can skip over this one pretty quickly.
But... if we had to choose a consensus, then the idea is Goldfinger is the ultimate theme song. And then that's discounting the original James Bond theme.
Yeah.
You've got to take that one out of the equation, right?
Yeah. I would have that as a score, as more of a theme.
Yeah. So best composer...
John Barry.
It's John Barry. It's not even a...
There's not even a consensus. No,
I mean if he'd had just done the theme song... then maybe you'd pick up the other ones because he was involved with all of the actual other theme songs.
Honourable mention to David Arnold.
I've literally written down here, honourable mention to David Arnold.
Of course, without doubt, but he always references John Barry.
Yeah, so exactly.
There's no David Arnold without John Barry. Yeah. Apologies, David, but there's not. Best soundtrack then?
Soundtrack?
Yeah.
Actually, soundtrack same score?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, the sounds that you get from Goldfinger, you've got the theme music... but then the actual score for Goldfinger, the way that it creates the tension in the scenes, is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'd go Goldfinger all the way with that. You're going to die another aspect.
Goldeneye, isn't it?
Old is not enough again.
Dreadful. Again, Goldfinger. I don't think they'll look past it.
Eric Serra, sorry.
I was kind of hoping we wouldn't mention Eric Serra.
I'm going to go with From Russia With Love simply because it's got the 007 theme, John Barry's 007 theme.
Yeah, my only issue with that is I don't think there's enough variation throughout. Okay. Whereas Goldfinger expands on that and it's got some wonderful, like when they first go to Miami, it's got its own soundtrack. It's
Okay, best director of James Bond films.
I'm going Hamilton.
So he directed...
Goldfinger, Live and Let Die, Man with the Golden Gun, Diamonds Are Forever. And bear in mind, I don't like Diamonds Are Forever.
The three of them are terrible.
No.
Live and Let Die is good. Goldfinger's good. And I actually love Man with the Golden Gun, so I'm taking that.
What are you saying, best director?
If we go in consistency, Martin Campbell. Because it's 100%,
two for two.
100% strike rate. And also reinvented to, you know, Bond twice. I have to go with...
You're deferring to that. Yeah. For me, as I've always said, it's Lewis Gilbert is the one that really defines what we think of Bond nowadays. So Lewis Gilbert obviously did You Only Live Twice, The Spy Who Loved Me, and America. So that's the two amazing Bond films.
Yeah.
The two of the best Bond films, I would say. But
so nobody's got a good answer. There are no consistently good.
No, so Sam Mendes default answer.
But you've probably got the most consistently good Bond director.
I mean, Martin Campbell, he is two for two, and the only other one I would say that we should consider is Terence Young, who was set the template for Bond.
Yeah.
With Dr. No and from Russia with Love, he also did Thunderball though. So.
It's never a full hit rate apart from
Campbell. Apart from Martin Campbell, which is why it's Martin Campbell.
If he'd have done like a couple more.
Mike Lapted though, come on. No, Lee Tamahori.
Campbell was just very smart, just going, I'm not going to do the next one.
All right, so what are we going to settle on?
John Glenn.
Okay, John Glenn, sorry, yeah, of course. Best Felix Leiter.
Okay, Jack Lord.
What, Brendan?
I'm not sure, actually.
It's tough on that one.
It's actually a hard one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Jeffrey Wright's fantastic.
Yeah, for me it's between two. It's between David Hedison, who I absolutely love as Felix Leiter, and also Jeffrey Wright as Felix Leiter. So Felix is obviously James Bond's ally in the CIA, played by... I mean, he's the character that's had the most different actors playing him.
Yeah.
But for me, David Hedison, who was twice licensed... Live and Let Die and... Was he Live and Let Die? Yeah. And Licence to Kill.
Yes. I went through all of these, and I was... I do like David Hedison, but the reason I like Jack Lord is because I think Felix Leiter can be done... He can be a really important character in the films, or he can just be a character that's in the CIA that just sort of floats about. And a couple of them are really just people that just... They're in the CIA. You don't really care about them. They just turn up. Jack Lord actually plays an American version of Bond. He seems like Bond, but he's American. He's got the cool glasses on. He's got a different sort of suit.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see the roles reversed, and you can see Jack Lord as like the main character, and then the British one. Yeah.
I like that.
That's why I like Jack Lord. I mean, he's not in the film a lot, but he's very good in is it from Russia?
It's Dr. No.
Dr. No, yeah. He's really good in that. Yeah.
The reason I think Jeffrey Wright would probably be my choice is I believe the relationship, the friendship.
And he gets a full arc, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So we're going to have Jeffrey Wright, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I think it's maybe an old and new thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You wouldn't give that characterisation to a secondary character in the 60s and 50s. Yeah.
The next lot, I think, are open goals, so we'll just rattle through these. Best Q.
Obviously.
Well, say it out loud. One, two, three.
Llewellyn.
Desmond Llewellyn. Best Money Penny.
Samantha Bond. Laris Maxwell.
Best M. No, this is a bit more contentious.
That's actually more difficult.
Yeah, but come on.
So if you say, if we say Bernard Lee, obviously, but then I think the argument is for
Judi Dench.
Yeah, but Bernard Lee is the winner.
I don't know, because I would say Judi Dench has a more fleshed out character.
Modern, old, same thing?
No, actually not.
What, because Bernard Lee... is a big character.
Judi Dench's version of M went across two iterations.
No, that's true. That's true, yeah.
But it's only Bernard Lee with Roger.
But also, but brought it from Brosnan's Bond into Daniel Craig's. But that was two completely different ways of doing the Bond films.
Mm.
Yeah. And it was the glue that held... that.
Go on then, make the call.
Yeah, make the call.
Oh, but for me, it's Judi Dench.
Wow, okay.
I think that's the only time where one of the few times where young newer cancels out the older.
Now we're into the fun ones.
Okay, what's the next one, Brendan?
Worst henchman.
I mean, there's a lot of them. there's a long list of these.
Is it Mr. Kill?
Mr. Kill.
Is he even a henchman? He's just on the staff, isn't he?
Well, that's got to be worth entering, isn't it? He's just on the payroll. That's
it's like minimum wage.
Yeah.
Is he the guy with dreadlocks?
Yeah.
That's Die Another Day, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can trump you with that.
Go on.
The henchman from Quantum of Solace, Elvis.
Oh,
who was more haircut than henchman.
Oh my God, yeah. Shouldn't he be on minimum wage? Is that paperboy?
Paperboy. James Bond Paperboy.
I'm going Chang, because I hate Chang.
From? You Only Live Twice. Oh, Moonraker.
Because he's rubbish. He's the one who fights with a kendo stick. And he's like meant to be a martial arts master, but he's pathetic. He's like the worst martial artist I've ever seen. And he's a weedy little man. Rubbish. Chang.
So we're not agreed, but I mean,
there's a lot. I don't think we're ever going to agree.
There's a lot.
This.
Yeah, I don't think you can single that down.
Yeah. Elvis, come on. You even remember him.
That's fair.
Yeah.
We'll give you that.
You can have him.
And talking of worst henchmen, let's go on to worst villain.
Worst villain.
Which has got to be Dominic Green.
Dominic Green for me. He's barely even a baddie. He's just a bloke, isn't he? Just getting on with his job. Just a bloke. With no skills or anything. Just a small Frenchman, isn't he?
Yeah, small Frenchman. Let's move on to worst Bond girl.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Go on.
Well, obviously Stacey Sutton.
Yeah.
And she's also the most annoying Bond girl, but I'd also stick in Melina Havelock there because I think she's pathetic.
Mm.
Really weedy, like, I'd go boring
with
character.
She's mismatched with Bond, isn't she? Yeah. Really mismatched.
Yeah.
But I can't see past... You've got
Christmas Jones.
Well, Christmas Jones. I mean, I actually don't mind Christmas Jones.
No, I think she's fine.
But who did you say first?
Stacey Sutton.
Stacey Sutton for me.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worst Bond actor.
What? So hang on. What are we saying here? Worst Bond. The person that's played Bond who can't act.
Yes.
Is that what we're saying?
Well, the worst person in the role from an acting point of view. So it might be that they're not quite in the right role for what they're trying to do.
Okay.
But when you're watching the film,
yeah,
who do you watch and go, this isn't very good acting?
Right.
I'd say technically, obviously it's George Lazenby is technically the worst, but I'd also say that the bottom of the list for me is Daniel Craig.
What?
From an acting point of view, I rewatched some No Time to Die the other day and I do watch it thinking, this is a bit...
Well, the thing is, he's not playing Bond.
Craig.
Yeah. Daniel Craig's not playing Bond. He's just playing generic action.
I don't think that Daniel Craig is a bad actor all the time, but I think in some of the scenes you're like, he doesn't quite sound right. He sounds like he's just saying the words and it's not really...
Yeah. But he only says about four words in Casino Royale, so that's probably your best bet.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Well, it's got to be one of the Bonds from Casino Royale 67, hasn't it?
Woody Allen.
We're doing the 25 Bond films.
There are 27 Bond films, and
I didn't know this.
Well, why don't you have something from the really original TV thing?
Barry Nelson. No,
yeah.
He's not as bad as Woody Allen, so that's who I'm going with.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah.
Well, you know why he's done this. I'm not going to offend anyone.
Now we're going into the good stuff. So, best henchman. Who's the best henchman? There is only one.
I was going to go Oddjob, then decided actually Oddjob is a very good henchman, but I think Red Grant is just really good character. Ooh. As well as henchman.
The only other contender is Jaws.
No, he's a comedy case. Pantomime.
Yeah.
You know, Widow Twanky.
Okay, well, I'll counter Red Grant with he is fantastic. Is he a henchman, though?
I think he's a very... I think he's an excellent henchman. I think there's different ways you could view a henchman, isn't there? You could view him as a very simple tool character who basically does something and fights. But there are films that have very good henchmen in that are rubbish. So they try and implement henchmen in later Bond films, like No Time to Die and stuff like that, where the henchmen are characters in their own right. Mm. But Red Grant does both. He's a great character, but also he's essentially just a very good henchman as well. But he's the counterpart to Bond.
Because you've got the main villain of... Two is Spectre, isn't it? And then you've got Rosa Klebb, who is sort of their minion, and then Red Grant is their minion. Mm. So it's kind of feels like he falls between.
He does fall between them. Yeah, I mean, if I would say Oddjob, if I was just going for blunt, who's the most obvious like henchman?
Yeah.
But if you actually go into depth of them and go, well, actually, some of these are quite good characters. Red Grant is far better than Oddjob as a character, a henchman character.
Yeah, and I guess because he gets killed before Rosa Klebb, that technically he is. Because you build up to the killing the big boss, you kill the henchman, then you kill the big boss, don't you? So, I mean, I would say Red Grant, but it has to be Oddjob on equal.
Who's the one in Die Another Day?
Oh, well, you've got quite a lot. I've got Zhao.
He's the one with the...
Guy with the diamonds in his face.
Yeah. He is fantastic.
All right, so, best villain. Who is the best Bond villain?
Goldfinger. Yeah, it's Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
It's not even close, is it?
Okay, good.
Anyone else contender?
I mean, there are contenders. Obviously, Blofeld and stuff are contenders.
No, they've ruined the character.
Yeah, they've ruined the character. Yeah. They didn't ruin Goldfinger. He's just perfect. He was the antithesis of Bond, and it was a mano el mano mental challenge.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's what you want with Bond. More of those, please.
In the mould of Goldfinger, who I agree is the best Bond villain, you've also got Scaramanga.
Yeah,
who goes mano a mano Bond? But not up there. Yeah. Alec Trevelyan.
But not as good.
Mm.
I also like the fact that Goldfinger's fat and not a direct comparison with Bond, where it's a bit like Alec Trevelyan. Essentially, we've got a Bond who's a baddie, and we've got a Bond who's a goodie, and they're going up against each other. The beauty of Goldfinger is that he's actually not
physically a match,
but he's like mentally a match and financially.
I can't remember if we talked about this when we talked about the 16th anniversary, but he's also in it for personal gain.
Yeah,
He's not in it for world domination.
Mm. Yeah.
He doesn't want to take over the world. He just wants
to be rich. He's driven by himself.
Yeah. Which I love. Great shout. Best Bond girl.
Domino, Claudine, Auger.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. I've always said this. Every episode we bring up Thunderball, I'd say she's the best one.
Right. Brendan?
Well, there's a couple for this one as well, I think.
Ursula Andress as Honey Rider.
Yeah. Eva Green as Vespa Lynn.
And Tracy.
Diana Rigg. Yeah. So that one's a bit harder to answer, actually.
Yeah.
Definitive.
I based my one on the fact that in that film, she plays that role of that Bond girl that is quite a complicated character. It could be very simple. It could just be a woman that, you know, he tricks to sleep with and get something he wants. But there's quite a clever, the whole story around her and, you know, the being a kept woman and stuff like that is quite good. I think she's got one of those in-depth characters. I mean, Ursula Andress's character is all right, but it's very loose. It's like, oh, I'm, you know, it's not based on. But you can see there's a reason. And it's probably when you compare the old and new ones that they try and do that with all of the new ones and give them a backstory that is quite sad and Bond's trying to help them. But back in those days, that wasn't very common.
Yeah.
Like Honey Rider, she ain't got a backstory. She's just a...
In the book she has, but it's not really explored in the film, is it?
Yeah. But Domino is actually a little bit sad of a story and he's sort of... He doesn't just sleep with her. He becomes a little bit more of an intricate story.
I don't think we can have Domino.
No.
Can we, Brendan? Can we override that?
What have you got then? What are the two options then?
Eva Green or Tracy.
I'll go Eva Green.
Vespa Lynn, you mean? Why are we using the actors?
Yeah. Oh, four beers deep now.
Oh, let's go Vespa.
Okay, let's go Vespa.
Yeah. Okay, right.
Best Bond actor. Say it, 1, 2, 3. Sean Connery. No, is that fair, Sean Connery?
Yes, of course.
I mean, there is no Bond without Sean Connery. He has set the template. I mean, if you ask me to imagine James Bond in my head, I will think of Roger Moore.
Naked.
But he made more. So it depends on how you're determining what the best is.
It's Connery.
Most overrated.
So this
movie.
One's now, really hard.
Well, let me just start by saying I really hate the term underrated and overrated.
Okay.
Because in online movie discourse, people use it all the time. And it's so meaningless.
Yeah.
What do we mean by the most overrated movie?
Yeah.
How would you define
I think there's
that?
A problem with the Bond series in that you can underrate and overrate a film that is either new or not as... It's so established, the Bond series, that there aren't really overrated or underrated films because quite a lot of people love one, love another one and stuff like that. There's not really a general consensus where everyone goes...
Yeah.
Maybe if Goldfinger was crap, and then you could go, that's the most overrated Bond film. But Bond has been going on for a very long time and you sort of... Some people like some people like the other ones, but there's a general consensus with most of them. So it's not there's a clear overrated Bond film, because if I said Die Another Day is the most overrated, you'd be like, nobody likes Die Another Day, so it's not overrated. It's quite hard to find an overrated Bond film.
Well, so have you got a choice or not?
The only one I've gone for overrated is Diamonds Are Forever, purely because I think people still look back on it as being a good Bond film, but it's actually not that good.
That's exactly what I would go with, because of the theme song's doing a lot of that heavy lifting.
Yes.
I mean, listen to the theme song. And
the
then...
theme song means people widely recognise it.
Yeah.
And therefore, maybe in their head think it's a good film. And I think if you listen back to some of our episodes, we probably went in thinking it was going to be better than it was.
But if you went to, like my dad, if I said, oh, what's a good Bond film? I'm going to go, Diamonds Are Forever. Fine, in his head, it is quite a good Bond film. But if he watched it, he'd be like, it's not very good.
Yeah.
It's not very good. Yeah. So I think it's overrated in a sort of general sense that people assume that it would be good, but it's rose-tinted glasses and then watched it for 30 years.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally agree. I can't fault that argument, really. I will defer to that. On that, there's very little to recommend that movie, personally, apart from Wynton Kid,
your favourite.
Yeah. Most underrated movie. Again, I've got big issues with this as a term. But
so I could only come up with one answer for this.
Right.
So out of all, I don't think any Bond film is
underappreciated.
Is generally rated badly by everyone.
Yeah.
The only one I could think of that is probably not treated as well as it probably should be is For Your Eyes Only, because most people look back and they go, it's quite a boring one, or it's like, but when you watch it, you go, that's actually all right. It's not a bad film. It's just a little bit bland in places. But I don't think it's. I think if you spoke to most people that know Bond, they'd go, For Your Eyes Only is boring. It's one of the most boring ones, but it's not as bad as you think.
Where are you going with this one?
Die Another Day.
I think I'm going with Die Another Day.
Oh, crying out loud.
Just because it gets... You mentioned that. Mere mention of that, you get that. That's your response. Mm. Like, oh, God, it's dreadful. It's terrible. And there's nothing to it. Do you know what? The first half of that film is an enjoyable Bond film.
Yeah.
Mm.
And there is stuff to be taken away from it.
And I can't say the same for The World Is Not Enough. Mm. Cannot say the same for that. No. To me, that's a bit of a slog.
Yeah.
If I had to pick an underrated movie, the two that stick out for me are You Only Live Twice, which I think is considered by most of us to be an amazing film, but some people sort of look down on it as kind of formulaic and forgettable. But the one I think, if you went to the man on the street, my mum, your dad, whatever, and asked for a Bond film, they would say, like you said, Diamonds Are Forever. The one that I don't think they would say is The Living Daylights, which to me is an absolutely terrific Bond film.
Yeah, I have a problem with this.
And most people wouldn't pick.
The problem with the David Dalton ones is that I don't think they're necessarily underrated. I think they're just not well known, so people just don't really know them. They go, they're rubbish ones.
Yeah.
But they haven't got the sort of... If they came out in the 70s and people remember them, I remember seeing that was a big film at the time. So it's a bit unfair to do underrated films because you obviously the ebbs and flows within the in the series. So yeah. Okay. But this makes the next...
So what were you saying for underrated movie?
I think if we go down the Timothy Dalton...
I mean, that's the most obvious one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think...
Yeah, if you're listening to this and you've... I mean, nobody's going to listen to this who doesn't watch all the Bond films all the time. But if you were saying to people, oh, out of all the Bond films, give Dalton a chance.
Yeah.
Because
a
lot of people say he's rubbish, but he's actually very good.
Or they just know the other ones better.
Yeah.
And that's like it's a familiarity thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, we're onto the good stuff now. So what's next, Brendan? The
easiest question in the world.
Is it? Worst movie?
I've got it tattooed on me.
Go on, worst movie. Casino Royale 67.
Oh,
you can't have that.
This is his cop out, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't want to offend anyone.
You can say Casino Royale.
Die Another Day, for the love of God. Obviously, it's the worst one.
It's not the worst one.
Didn't I put that in the worst in every single discussion we had?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate that film more than anything. It annoys me just the fact that it exists.
I would rather watch that than Spectre, for sure.
Yeah.
Or Diamonds Are Forever.
I don't like Spectre, but if you put it on the TV, I could happily do like look at my phone and stuff, and it wouldn't annoy me. It'd just be a thing going on in the background. Die Another Day was it would ruin my day.
I could
ruin another day.
Ruin another day.
View to a Kill.
You've got View to Kill.
Oh yeah, it's View to a Kill, isn't it?
That's View to a Kill.
Just the first hour is a horse drama. I just
best bit.
The best part is the quiche. That's the highlight.
Christopher Walken.
For any horse and quiche fans out there, it's the film to go for. Not horse.
It's Casino. Let's just say it's Casino Royale 67 and move on.
No one offended. There we go. Move on.
Don't count.
What's best movie?
Best.
Here we go.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
Never There's only ever one. Again.
There's only one.
Yeah. It's Goldfinger.
It's Goldfinger.
Yeah. Okay, that was good.
Any other contenders?
No.
No,
they've only made one good Bond film.
GoldenEye.
Yeah.
If I was to pick a film that I watch, Bond film that I watch more than any other, it's GoldenEye.
You can't say, are there any others? There's the best and there's the ones that aren't the best.
I'm just longing it out.
If you asked anyone, some clown's going to come in and go, Octopussy.
Yeah.
No, you're wrong, mate.
Wait, can we go back to worst movie? Because it's Octopussy.
I didn't even think of that. That means it is the worst.
Yeah. And also
didn't
the worst henchman.
Didn't even register.
Worst villain.
Even
worse
than Casino 60.
Worst song.
Yeah. Yeah, just bad. Yeah,
just forget everything we said. It's Octopussy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Well, that concludes the grid. Thank you so much, the Bond fan on Reddit for
that's
that
good,
suggestion.
That was more in depth than we thought we'd go.
And we don't want any emails on that, so don't have a go at us.
Well, I'm not going to.
I mean, these are. Correct. We've got the correct answers for all of these.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to listen to that.
I'm not going to renew the domain, so don't worry about
it. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So for the final part of our New Year's special, we're going to do a quiz. Very much like we did for our Christmas episode last year. Brendan, you are the quiz master.
Indeed.
Dale Winton.
Supermarket Sweep. It's not Supermarket Sweep. We are going to play Bond Darts.
Oh, hey! Okay.
All right. So get your arrows ready. Right, so how it's going to work is we're going to start with a number.
Right.
As you know how normal darts works, you start on 501.
Yeah.
You throw darts and each number that you get on the board takes that number down to zero.
Okay.
You've got to work towards zero. So we're going to do that with Bond statistics.
Oh my god, okay.
Nice. Statistics works because I don't know any answers, so...
So for example, if you were to... If the round was actors, lead actors, Bond films.
Right.
And your starting number was one and you were in Lazenby.
Yeah.
You would win.
Right.
You'd get to zero, but if you said Roger Moore, you'd then go -6 and you'd be bust. Okay?
Wow. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
So, you're going to have three throws, as it were,
yep,
which will knock your number down. So the first one we're starting with is box office takings.
Okay.
Okay.
And you're both starting with $1 billion.
Okay.
And you've got to work down towards zero. So the closest after three goes...
And you've got to throw how many darts?
Three.
Right. So you can't just throw one and get the billion.
If you want to go for that, you can, and then you can stick if you're happy. But then you can't throw any more darts after that once you've stuck. So that's your choice.
And are we adjusted for inflation or...?
We are not. So we're just going with...
Original.
The original worldwide box office taking.
Okay, so if you go over the billion...
You're bust, that's it. You're done, right. You're
out. Okay.
Keep a running total here.
Okay.
And who's going to go first?
What, on maths?
Do we take it in turns or do we all in one go?
You'll take it in turns. Uh-huh. So we're going to go alphabetically.
Just so the listeners can get a good understanding of this game so they can play at home.
Yes, you can play at home. So we'll start with Tom Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my first dart is Casino Royale. 2006.
Yeah, I'm not like you. I've not included the non-canon ones. I'll reveal after you first, both of you first throws.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's your first dart, Wheatley?
View to a Kill.
View to a Kill.
So let's just guess. Let's have a quick guess on what we think that the box office is.
Yeah, that's good, actually.
So I'm going to guess yours.
Yeah, go on.
I think Casino Royale got 700 million.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere less than... I think it's more like 600 million.
Okay.
But I think A View to a Kill is probably more like 200 million.
Mm. Your knowledge, very impressive. So, Tom Butler, Casino Royale, 594 million.
Mm.
Which takes you down to 406 million.
Yeah,
and we can't choose the same films that we've
both. No, once they're gone, they're gone. Yeah. Wheatley, A View to a Kill, 152 million, which leaves you 848 million to go.
Oh, okay.
Tom Butler to throw.
Good quiz.
Tom Butler to throw.
Okay.
I'm going to throw. You ready?
Yep.
I'm going to throw GoldenEye. Two Martin Campbell darts.
Yeah, and Tom?
Wheatley.
Die Another Day. Only time I'll ever pick that film for anything. Okay, so I'm thinking GoldenEye was about 400 million.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Mm.
I reckon Die Another Day was about 400 million, which I think puts me closer.
Yeah, well, you're in a riskier area.
I am in a riskier area, yeah.
Well, okay, so...
After two darts...
So Tom Butler, after two darts, So you went with GoldenEye.
Yeah.
356 million. Mm. That takes you down to 50 million.
Whoa.
So 50 million. And then Wheatley, you went with Die Another Day, your favourite Bond film. Mm. 431 million.
Whoa.
Puts you at 417.
Okay.
So you've got about one throw each, if you wish.
Yeah. So how much have you got left to play with?
50.
50 million?
50 million.
Okay.
So I'm going to go... Throwing
out
the
dart. This is good. I've played this cleverly. He's going riskier, big moves.
But I don't know if you know what's going to be closer.
Yeah, the risk is with you because you're going to go over way easier than I am.
Well, I'm going to stick then.
You're sticking.
I'm sticking.
You're sticking.
I'll stay at 50 million.
You're at 50 million. So, 417 million. One throw left. You're going to stick.
What's enough?
The world is not enough.
Good shout, it's good.
So what are you thinking, World Is Not Enough is?
130.
Because Die Another Day was massive. And that we already know that was over 400 million.
431 million right, Die Another Day.
So the World Is Not Enough is probably less.
So you had 417 million. Your throw of World Is Not Enough, 361 million. Taking you down to 56 million.
Oh, what a game!
That is so tight.
That's what a game this is.
What a game!
You took it so close.
That's really
good. Did I win then?
You won
by 6 million.
There's not a Bond film you could have named.
I was going to say, I don't think Dr.
No is 59 million. You would have gone bust.
Wow.
So there we have it. That's 1-0.
That's excellent. That's a great game.
I mean, it's fairly limited. You can only play this maybe 4 times and you're done.
Yeah, we've got 2 other rounds.
Right, okay.
So we're going to start. James Bond movies, Rotten Tomatoes. Percentage. You're starting at 180.
Audience score.
The general score.
Okay.
The tomato meter.
Tomato meter.
Okay.
You're starting at 180%. That's what you've got to play.
180.
Three darts.
Okay.
180.
And Wheatley is first to throw on this one
because he lost.
All right. So if you got them all of the same, you'd be looking around 60. So I would say about No Time to Die.
I am going to go with Tomorrow Never Dies.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Okay. So where are you thinking they're lying?
I reckon you can guess. You have this.
Well, you threw...
No Time to Die.
No Time to Die. I reckon that's probably a 76%.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think...
I reckon you're about 60.
Yeah.
Okay, so No Time to Die is 83%.
Oh, wow, okay.
So you're down to 97% to go.
Well, I've still got Die Another Day to go, so...
And then Tomorrow Never Dies, 57%.
Oh, that's
we're good at getting close to these.
57%. Yeah. That means you're left with 123%.
That's good, that's pretty average.
Wheatley's one, but you've got to get... throw.
Okay. So I'm going to go for... What is it enough?
Okay.
I'm going to go... Moonraker.
Ooh, great choice. Great choice. Very clever.
Okay, so you've gone for ones that you expect to be relatively...
Middling. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What did you say, World Not Enough? I reckon 59%.
I reckon for Moonraker, 50%.
Okay, so the World Is Not Enough, 52%.
Wow, okay, that's worse than I thought it was going
to
be.
So you're down to 45%.
Okay.
And then Moonraker was 60%, which means you're down to 63%.
Okay, this is good.
Quantum of Solace, please. So I'm fairly safe. I reckon I've got a safe bet now that I'm going to be within my thing. You're going to be riskier because you've got to get a relatively...
Spectre. I'm going to play.
I think Spectre might be surprisingly high. All right, I reckon Spectre is going to be 70.
Higher than... And what did you say?
Quantum.
Quantum of Solace.
Okay, 40, I think.
Okay, so Quantum of Solace is 64%.
Oh, what?
Minus 19.
Who is reviewing these things? Out. I thought it was going to be about 20.
No, I apologise for that. I'm sorry, you're out on this round.
All right.
So, 63% is what you had. You threw...
Spectre
has... And this is what the crowd have been wanting. 63%.
Bullseye!
He's got the bullseye!
How has Spectre got that and Quantum's got...
Jesus.
Ah, he's done it. He's only gone and bloody done it.
That's ridiculous.
That is unreal.
And wow,
saying,
what a show.
I want to thank my parents.
I'm so annoyed
Jesus.
With... Quantum. Are you sure that's... I want to yeah. recount. Quantum.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, there's one more round.
But I've won both of them.
Winner takes it all. Winner takes it all.
You want to go winner takes it all?
Winner takes it all, yeah. Winner takes it all. Come on.
Night.
Yeah.
We're playing Goldfinger rules, are we?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My pen, Bob's heart.
Okay. Here we go.
So winner takes it all.
On this one, we're going at running time. Okay.
Last year was running time, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. It was. So if you've got good memories, you'll know.
I know.
So the total run time is what we're going for.
Yeah.
Is the run time of the Bourne trilogy, 342 minutes.
Jeez.
Okay.
Three films.
Yeah.
314.
No maths, please.
Maths is cheating.
Well, it's 110, 112 minutes each.
All right, who's throwing first?
Let's go.
Oh, God. From Russia with Love. What's yours, Wheatley?
I think you're going to have to go strategy, I think, because getting three is too risky. So I think you're going to go for two and then stick. So I would go for...
Okay, that's a good tactic.
That's
a good tactic. Yeah.
Yeah. I would go for... What was that enough?
See, I think From Russia with Love is a short Bond film. Mm. I'm thinking 110 minutes.
Yeah, but even if you get a short one slightly longer than you think, you're still stuck.
But then I know two really short ones, so where I'm going with it. And you've gone The World Is Not Enough, which I think is probably one of the longer Pierce Brosnan films.
So I think...
In fact, probably the longest...
Which one did you go for?
I said From Russia with Love.
So that's got to be... 110.
That's what I said, 110.
110. Well, I don't know, what do you think?
I think it's closer to...
It's over two hours 20.
Yeah.
So From Russia with Love is 115 minutes.
Okay, not bad. Yeah.
Yeah, and The World Isn't Enough is 128 minutes.
Oh, okay, not as long as I thought.
So, Butler, you're on 227 minutes, and you're on 214 lately. So it's still very close, and...
My second dart is Goldfinger.
This is a massive gamble, so I can't remember how long it is, but No Time to Die.
Oof.
Oh, I think No Time to Die is the longest Bond.
It is the longest.
So you're thinking two darts stick.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And then you're gambling the with the last one.
And I'm gambling with the last one.
Because you're not going to get as close as me with this, but then you could mess up.
Okay. So Goldfinger.
Yep.
110 minutes.
Right, okay.
Which takes you down.
Winner takes it all.
So you're on 117, yeah.
So this is tough.
Yeah. And then you said No Time to Die, 163 minutes. It is the longest. Takes you down to 51.
Stick.
So.
No, I'm gonna. Okay, what do I got?
Considering how Barry Nelson.
So you're sticking at 51. So you've got 117 minutes to play with.
Quantum of Solace, final dart. Have I shit the bed?
I don't know. Do you think he's really short?
What do you think? You think he's gone bust for that?
How many has he got left?
117.
He's got it. It's really short, Quantum.
Okay. It's 106 minutes long.
Oh!
So you're left with 11 minutes to go.
So winner takes it all.
Yeah, you've won 3-0. Again, another year of a mauling for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy with that. That was bloody good quiz.
That was a great quiz.
Yeah.
Great quiz.
And got an opportunity to show off your knowledge as well.
It did.
It wasn't just random guessing. Yeah, that's good. But if he'd gone for something else,
yeah,
that was a risky shot. That was a good move. That was a good move.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Well, that's about it for our New Year's episode of James Bond A to Z, 2025. We have to look forward to the 60th anniversary of Thunderball.
Yeah.
The 40th anniversary of A View to a Kill. Come on, guys. 30th anniversary of GoldenEye.
Mm. Yeah,
and the 10th anniversary of Spectre. So
10th, we really blown at the balloons for that one.
Yeah, well, I did the 5th, and that was a good year.
Well, thank you for tuning into this New Year's special of the James Bond A to Z podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed it and got something out of it. I wish you two a very prosperous New Year.
And yourself.
Yeah, cheers.
And the James Bond A to Z podcast might return. Who knows?
Probably at Christmas.
Probably, at least at Christmas.
And New Year.
Or at the big Pinewood celebrations for the 10th anniversary of Spectre. We'll be there.
Yeah, I'll see the social posts.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.